please step. Let's turn to Psalms 94, please. Psalmist says, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break the pieces in Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, Lord shall not see, neither shall the Lord God of Jacob regard it. Understand ye, brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy way, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word this morning. Help us on this wonderful rainy day that you've given us here. Pray that you'll bless the people as they come, and that you'll stop by and visit us this morning, dear Lord, and help us to understand. We just need you in everything we do, in everything we say, in all our families and friends, people we work with. We don't take anything for granted. You're the reason we're here today, dear Lord, guys. By your grace, we go from one day to the next. May you bless our pastor as he prepares to bring all that you have put in his heart. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. That you hear me when I call, is it true that you are thinking of me? Oh, how you love me. It's amazing. It's amazing. Oh, I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. Oh, I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. Whoa, I'm a friend of God. Yes, I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. Oh, God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have call me friend. Oh God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. Oh, I'm a friend of God. Yes, I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. And I'm a bride of God. Yes, I'm a bride of God. I'm a bride of God. He calls me bride. Oh,
God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me bride. Oh, Lord Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me bride. Oh, I'm a friend of God. Yes, I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. Oh, I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. Oh, God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. Oh, God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. Oh, I'm a friend of God. Yes, I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a friend of God. Yes, I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. Thank you, Jesus. My God, just to be a friend of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Exalted, train off his robe, fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is filled, and the whole earth is filled. And the whole earth is filled with his glory. You say, holy, 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 holy is the Lord. You say, holy. So holy, 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 holy is the Lord. Oh, I see the Lord seated on the throne. Oh, exalted, train off his robe, fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is filled. Yes, the whole earth is filled, and the whole earth is filled with his glory. We say, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy is the Lord. He is holy, holy. He's so holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I see the Lord seated on the throne. Oh, exalted, train off his robe, fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is filled. Oh, yes, the whole earth is filled.
say, hold me, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord. Once more. Say holy, he's so holy, he's holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy is the Lord, friends.
holy. Oh, so holy. You are holy.
none. There is no one, friends. No one. Thank you, Lord, yeah. Sister Michelle.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. You know, this week I was driving along on the road, and this song was just such a song and such a blessing to me that it just carried me through all week, and I just said I think I would just sing it today. I was actually tossed between two songs. So I pray that it bless you as it has blessed me. His strength is perfect, so perfect. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do.
Raising his power.
God. Thank you, Sister Michelle. My God, my God.
Everything, Lord, as we give to you, Lord God, bless those who have and bless those who don't have, Lord. God, just pray for Brother Jack as he brings your truth to the people, Lord God, and that you will continue blessing him, Lord. Bless us, Lord, as we all hear God gathered today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We have Pinnacle Palm service today at 5:30. Everyone who can go out, please make it out. And if you can't make it, please pray for the service. Amen. We have a few visitors this morning. Sister Marlena Garcia, Dominique, I guess that's Shadiah and Shania from Brother Ron Peterson out in Phoenix. God bless you. Good to have you here. Praise the Lord. All the saints from St. Augustine, God bless you. It's good to have you here. Praise the Lord. My cousin, my brother, my friend, Richard Kimbrough, it's good to have you here. God bless you. Praise the Lord. We don't have any written requests down, but just remember one another in prayer. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? Let's pray. go to the Lord in prayer just for a moment. Bow your hearts, if you will. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's so good to be back in your house, Lord. Back in your presence, Lord, with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Father, it's so good to see our brothers and sisters, Lord, from Phoenix and from St. Augustine. Lord God, you brought my cousin here, Lord. It's always a blessing to be with him. Father, it's always a blessing to be with your children, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord, for revelation in this hour. We pray, Lord God, that as the word goes forth, you'll unfold your word to us, Lord. Help us once again to see our position in you, Lord, that we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Lord. We must recognize our position, Lord. We ask that you anoint our pastor. If there are any needs, Lord, represented amongst your people, Lord, whatever it may be, you know. Father, you know the hearts of your people, Lord. We ask that you minister to the needs of your people. Do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, Lord God. Lord, you want us to ask, Lord, and ask in abundance, Lord. So we're asking, Lord, not only for these here, Lord, but souls, Lord. Save souls, Lord. That's the greatest thing we can ask of you. And even so, come, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. We commit this service and our brothers and sisters into your hands. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.
Brother comes, we'll sing this little song now. It says, I am the God that healeth thee.
I am the Lord your healer.
I sent my word to heal your disease.
I sent my word, oh, to heal your disease.
I am the Lord, I am
the Lord your healer.
One more time, I sent my word to heal your disease.
Yes, I sent my word, oh, to heal your disease. I am the Lord, your healer.
Praise the Lord. Glory. Before you, I'm going to let you.
I refuse to fight. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated. But before you're seated, just greet somebody and say, God bless you. Good to see you today. The Lord. So good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. I was just told that we had two more songs that was on the list today. And I think what I'm going to do is only get one of them. The other one I'll save for next week, if y'all don't mind. But I was told that Sister Jennifer had a song. Is that right? Sister Jennifer? Okay. Why don't you come on, Sister Jennifer? And we'll let her share what she had in her heart there. Amen.
God bless. This song fell in my spirit this morning. Pray that you guys can sing with me, along with me. Hope it be a blessing. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renew. Flow from grace that I found in you. Lord, I come to you. The weakness I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me, bring me near, draw me nearer to your side. As I wait, I rise up like the eagle, and I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes. Let me see your face to face. The knowledge of your love as you live in me. Lord, renew my mind. As your will unfold my life in a living every day by the power of your love. Draw me closer to, hold me closer, let your love surround me, bring me nearer, draw me nearer to your side. And as I wait, I rise up like an eagle, and our spirit leads me on in the power of your love. And I will soar with you. Lord, unveil my eyes. Let me see you face to face. The knowledge of your love as you live in me, Lord, renew my mind, and you will unfold in my life and live in every way by the power of your love. Lord, renew my mind as your will unfold my life in every day by the power of your love. By the power of your love.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Sister Jennifer. We really appreciate that. The power of your love. That's exactly what we need in order to make it through. Amen. I know I said I was only going to do one, but I just remembered the other sister that was scheduled to sing, and she practiced and all that. And I'm not going to just push her to the side. I'm going to let her come, amen, and do that today. And just give me 1 second, brother, before I before we go into that. So Sister Charisse, I know she got a song. And we'll let her come and do that. But I want to just share something. I thank you. Brother Jeffrey don't know what I'm doing up here. Just that's a good place to be, right there. As soon as I call her the next time, grab that mic. I'm glad you're all over it though. You if you want to hold it in your hand, you can. Praise the Lord, everybody. But you know, something just occurred here, you know, this week, and I wanted to just kind of share. We were in church on last night at Brother Gene's, and man, we've been having a wonderful time. They're dedicating their new building. The Lord has blessed them tremendously there in Boynton Beach, and man, I just rejoice with them to see what God has done. And I mean, we can have conventions in that church. You know, it's really beautiful, you know, what the Lord has done for them. And a sister had shared a testimony, and after she shared a testimony, the pastor had made a comment. He said, you know, this sister one time was standing in need to have her mortgage paid, and she ran short on some money and just didn't know how she was going to get it paid. And she said one day she was just there at her house, and somebody come knocking on the door. And when they knocked on the door, they said, I'm from Orlando. I don't know you. But last night I had a dream, and this guy by the name of Michael came to me in a dream and gave me a check and said, give this to so-and-so. Never even knew her, never met her, didn't know her address. But I guess on the check somehow I had her address. So she went, you know, to find this address. This person went to find the address, and they showed up and gave that lady a check, and it covered the rest of her mortgage payment. And when I thought about that, I said, man, I'd be limiting God too much. I think we got to take the limits off God. We don't know what he can do, right? God's, you know, network is much bigger than yours. His network is greater than yours, I'm telling you. You only know a few people, but God knows everybody. He knows exactly who has what you need. You just remain faithful and God will get it to you. Man, I was encouraged. I was encouraged, you know, after I left there. And I just said to myself, I said, man, we need to share. We need to start sharing about what God is doing. He's not a God just of yesterday. He's not a God of tomorrow, but he's a God of right now. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I was just sharing, you know, with the church this morning. Sometimes I don't say things like this, but I say, you know what, I need to say this. I need to just share this just so that, you know, God moving in our midst too. And a few Sundays ago, someone had put some money in one of the envelopes there, you know, for our tithes and our offering and love offerings and things like that. Somebody put some money in there. And when they put the money in, they did not mark whether it was tithe or offering or what. So, you know, the brothers asked him, said, what should we do? I said, just put it in the offering. Just put an offering. Don't worry, it's not marked. So just put it in the offering. And so, you know, I didn't think nothing of it. And then the next day I come here to the church property, and I was going to meet somebody. And And as I pulled into the property, there was a brother, you know, just standing outside in the far end of the parking lot, just talking with somebody. And when I pulled up, I just stopped. Me and my wife, I just stopped. I got out of the car and I reached. I ran up to hug him and said, "Man, it's so good to see you. And, you know, I ain't seen you." I said, "Yeah, Pastor, I ain't been to church in a while, and I know I need to get back. And, you know, I'm sorry." I said, "Man, it's all right. You know, we're praying for you, and, you know, looking for you to come at any time." And he said, "I just got a job over here." I said, "Man, you working over here now?" I said, "Well, I know you live quite a distance." He said, "Well, I plan on moving this way." And I said, "Man, you know, you get that close, you got to come to church, you know." So we were just talking a little bit. And he said, "Yeah, and I owe tithes. I say, "Okay, well, you know, no problem. God will take care of all that." He said, "Man, I got to go back to the house and get the money. I owe tithes." I said, "All right, no problem." So the Lord just kept working on him. We just kept talking. I ain't say nothing else. And he reached in his pocket and pulled out some money. And he said, "This part of the tithes right here. I know I owe more than this, but this just part of it." And what he ended up putting in my hand was the exact amount that was in that envelope that was not marked. Our God is moving. Our God still do supernatural things, right? Amen. Our church, don't you limit God. God is doing great things. So I was sharing that, you know, this morning. And, you know, whatever your need is, God is able to meet that need. Amen. God's able to meet that need. And I just want to just encourage you. I was sharing that this morning after our prayer service. And Brother Wisdom, you know, he said I was blown away. He had this little card in his pocket. And he said, "I was going to share this." I, you know, him and Sister Wisdom, you know, wrote this out. And he say, "You know, this just go right along with what you were just sharing." And it was a note of thanks and appreciation for the church, amen, that took time to sign the sympathy card for Brother Wisdom and the loss of his mother. And, you know, they went up on last week to Maryland and, you know, to bury her and everything. And, you know, and just a love offering, you know, from the church that went, amen, with them. And, you know, and as they were just kind of coming back and, you know, just some kind words and everything that people put in the card. It was just really, really special. So they just said, "We'd like to express our sincere thanks to Spirit and Truth family for your prayers and the love offerings. Amen. May God bless you all." I said, "We also like to offer thanks to the young woman in Woodbridge, Virginia, who said she was following the unction of the Lord to give us a love offering. Say, may God bless her and her family. May he meet the desires and needs of her heart." They were in Woodbridge, Virginia, a city that they'd probably never been to before. Just there, you know, passing through. And as they were in the car, this young lady walked up to the car and hit on the window. She said, "I don't know you, but I feel led to give you this money." Say the lady had three little kids with her. She said, "I don't know you, but I feel led to give you this money. And she just took off and ran away. God is still moving. See, whatever you need, God's got it. Stop limiting to the people that's around you. You can end up in some city that you've never even been to before, and God will give you what you need. Man, I tell you, it just blessed my heart. It blessed my heart not just to see somebody on the receiving end, but I said to myself, say, Lord, I want to be the person on the giving end as well. Sometimes I need to receive, but other times I want to be able to give. And I want to be so sensitive to the voice of God. Come on, somebody. I want to be so sensitive to the voice of God that I can operate the way that these people are operating. I've never seen you before. I've never met you. But something tells me that I need to do this for you. See, that's the way we got to be, church. Well, oftentimes it's very easy within the body. You know, we know each other so well. We know each other's needs, and you know, we help each other. That's we like family. Family do that. But church, when it's somebody you don't know, and you go outside of your comfort zone and just led of the Spirit, say, I'm gonna just slide this over here. Something, it might hurt you a little bit. That lady gave, I think, $60. Three little kids, $60 might be a lot for some people. But sometimes God wants to challenge you to give more.
know, y'all be seated just for a little bit. I'm let Sister Cherise come in a second, I promise. But the sister that got this money to pay her mortgage, she also was saying how she was down to $4.75. She had to count her quarters. I've been there. I didn't have gas, and I had to go to my piggy bank with my pennies inside of it. Yeah. And I walked on inside of there, and I paid them in pennies, and I got gas to make it to work. I've been there. You got to have some experiences like that. And, you know, she was saying how they were down to $4.75, didn't have no money, and she needed grocery for the house. And like, Lord, how am I going to eat off $4.75? And she went to the store just to, you know, get some dollar items. And as she was there in the store to get the dollar items, and man, she saw some little display that they had, and they were saying, yeah, we got this little raffle, and you fill out here. You don't need to do nothing special. Just put your name on this, and if we pull your name, you're going to get a $50 gift card. So she said, okay, well, you know, I'm going to just fill out for this, you know. And she went over there and filled out her name and say the lady was getting ready to take her little thing and slide it inside. She said, no, wait before you do that. She said, could I do it first? Could I do it? It's my name. Let me put my name in the box. So she grabbed it. She said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I decree and I declare, I'm going to get this $50. Dropped it in the name of Jesus. Went and paid her $4 or whatever that she had and got the groceries that she had. And by the time she got back home into her house, she was getting a telephone call. She said, I know that's the call for me. That's my $50 gift card. And they called up and said, you just won, ma'am, your $50. Come on to the store and get your gift card. She got her kids together and said, let's go to the store. We're going to fill up the refrigerator. Man, God is able to do great things. I don't know what you need today, but I know God is able. I know God is able, and I just want to increase and encourage your faith. Amen. Sister Cherise, you come on at this time, and I'm going to let you sing. Man, and y'all let my cousin Anthony get away back there. I got my cousin Anthony. I got my cousin Amber. Sangers. These not just singers. They are sangers. And not only that, y'all ain't heard their daughter yet. I heard a little. Look, just a little snippet of something, amen, on Instagram, and I about fell out my seat. I said, come on, cuz. But I just appreciate, amen, my family being here this morning. So good to see them, amen, from St. Augustine, and amen, and amen. Also, his brother from Fort Lauderdale. He not from St. Augustine, Fort Lauderdale, right? Good to see you again. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. So, and my good friend and his precious wife, Alex and Rebecca, so good to see you all. Amen. On today, God bless you. Amen. Sister Cherise got a song and she'll sing. And after that, I promise I'll go into the word of the Lord.
I'm forgiven. live my days in the middle of the night, when I struggle with my pain and I struggle with my pride.
Hallelujah. I don't have to carry the weight of who I am. I don't have to carry the weight of what I've done, because I'm forgiven. God bless you, Sister Charisse. We certainly appreciate that on today. Powerful words. Powerful words. Man, if you don't mind standing to your feet, and we will read the word of the Lord, and we will pray a prayer. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, all the other specials that went forth. We really appreciate that on today. And just all of the saints, amen, that are here visiting with us. I believe we have some saints from Phoenix. Amen. So good to have you all with us. Did y'all have any singers in y'all's group? We just like to use all the talent. Amen. So praise the Lord. Let's turn, amen, here to the book of Isaiah, and I want to read from Isaiah 59. The saints from Phoenix, you all just answered the question. I said, you have any singers in y'all group, y'all answered the question the way the prophet answered about, are you a cowboy? And they said, Brother Branham saw all these people riding, you know, that horse, riding them horses, and he said he thought he was a rider. And say when they saw that fella get kicked off that horse pretty good, they said, you a rider? No, I don't ride. But amen, I appreciate that. Here in Isaiah 59, verse 17, it says this, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, a recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray. Amen. Father, we are grateful for the privilege and the opportunity we have to read the word of the Lord. But God, we are people that are constantly going through a trial, tribulation, and distress. And we thank you how the word is quickened to us at the various times of our life. And Father, today I pray that you would use your word to raise the standard, amen, in our hearts and in our lives, that you would quicken it to us, and that through that, Lord, we would have strength to keep pressing the battle. We realize the enemy certainly is coming in like a flood, but we're looking for the remainder of that promise to be fulfilled in our hearts and in our lives. So, Lord, use your word today to encourage your people. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. God richly bless you. Praise the Lord. We want to take for our subject today, when the enemy comes in like a flood. Amen. When the enemy comes in like a flood. And I am certainly sure that everybody in here got some type of trial, some type of distress or tribulation that you're going through. You know, and it's good to be able to go back to the Word of God and see one of the promises that God has written that you can just grab a hold of and, amen, and allow the Word to carry you through whatever it is that you're facing. No matter whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, doesn't matter. Everybody got problems, right? Everybody got problems. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, who you are. You know, you can be a Christian and end up in the hospital. You can be a non-Christian and end up in the hospital, right? You can be a Christian and get behind on your bills and be a non-Christian and get behind on your bills, right? You know, but you just in life in general, you just see people going from one trial to the next trial. The good thing about being a Christian, though, in the midst of your trial is that you got something to hold you. Something to encourage you in the midst of you going through. As a Christian, I you know, and if you got your anchor tied down the right way, right, then you won't be drifting too far. Praise the Lord. No matter how rough the seas get, right, you won't be drifting too far. And what I mean by that, you know, you got people nowadays that they can't handle the pressure. They can't handle the stress of life, you know. And some of the stress is leading people to go get a gun and just shoot up everybody and anybody in sight. You know, the stress of relationships, the stress of marriage is not working out, the stress of school. Maybe they took too many classes. But people actually just, you know, they're losing it. And they're going off on the deep end. But as a Christian, even though you got all that stress, you got something that'll help carry you through, something that'll comfort you, something that'll strengthen you in the midst of whatever it is that you're facing. And that thing that you have is the Word of God. Hey, don't take it lightly, church. Don't take it lightly. See, the Word of God is a lamp to your feet. Amen. That means when I can't see which direction to go in, and when I'm a little lost out here, I can look at the Word of God and get some direction. The Bible says it's a lamp unto your feet. It's also a light unto your path. Come on, and when you're walking at night, because it's nighttime right now, church, but when you're walking at night, sometimes all you can do is put one foot in front of the other. But don't matter if you're putting one foot in front of the other, you still walking and you're still progressing. Hallelujah, somebody. Glory to God. If you can't tell the devil nothing else, tell him that I'm still walking. Amen. Sometimes you can't run, but if you're still walking, you're making progress. Blessed be the name of the Lord, church. Amen. So I just want to just talk about this today. When the enemy comes in like a flood, and if you ain't never had this happen to you, you just keep being a Christian. Amen. You just keep being a Christian. One day you'll find yourself in a situation like Job. Man, Job was doing very well and praying and prosperous and all these other things. And one day the enemy came in like a flood. Job got some news that, this just happened to all your sheep and all your animals. And, the Sabians did this and they did that. And, one walk in and bring bad news, and Job just sitting there. And by the time the guy finished his statement, another guy come running in, in a hurry, like, man, I got something to tell you. You ain't never heard nothing like this before. He said, you just lost all this. My God. And as he absorbing it. Come on, he ain't even had a chance to process it. But as he's just sitting there absorbing it and trying to process it, here comes somebody else with some other news. Say, Job, I know what they told you, but guess what? This just happened. Right? And it's like, man, wait a minute now. And maybe Job began to think, now, is God with me or not with me? I don't know what's going on. Right? But then the next thing you know, after all is said and done, the fourth guy runs in and he says, Job, I'm sorry to tell you. Say, I know you lost your animals and you lost this, you lost that, but you done lost something much greater than that now. You done lost all your children. And when Job heard the news, and I want to be like Job. See, I mean, God put these characters in the Bible for a reason. I want to be like Job, because Job, after he heard all the news, rather than get upset with God. You know how when people go through a trial, they get upset. They want to quit. They want to give up on God. No, not Job. That's not what he did. The Bible says he bowed his face and he began to worship God. See, what I found out, church, is that he dwells in the midst of our praise. So if you're ever looking for God, when you're going through a great trial, what you have to do is begin to praise him. That's where you will find him, is in the midst of your praise. When it demands a sacrifice. Amen. When it ain't easy to get up and go to church because of what you're going through, get up and go anyway. Come on, church. That's when you're going to find God. But when you look at the scripture and you see Job go through all that, and even his wife come and tell him, say, man, why don't you just curse God and die? Now, I like Job's response, because he didn't say it the way that we would say it. Right? You got every word means something in the scripture, right? Job didn't talk the way that we talk. See, if it would have been a this year version of Job, he would say, you're a foolish woman. That's what they would have said. You're a foolish woman. But that's not what Job said. You got to watch what you speak over your family. No, he didn't say you're a foolish woman. He said you talk like. Now, I ain't calling you foolish, because you my wife. I ain't married no fool. Come on, somebody. But you talking like one of them foolish women. So when everything was good, that's when we praise God. No, dear. When say, I bless him. Like David said, I will bless the Lord. Come on, hallelujah. Somebody know the word in here. I will bless the Lord at all times. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, when you know that I'm going through, I'm going to tell you how you're going to know when I'm going through. Because I'm going to come to church and I'm going to be louder in my praise. That's how you know I'm going through. Because ain't nobody going to be able to take my praise that day. My problem can't take my praise. My pressure can't take my praise. Sickness in my body can't take my praise. No money in the bank can't take my praise.
I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Come on, church. Right? It's continually going to be in my mouth. Whether it's a good time or a bad time, I'm still going to praise him. You know why? Because he's still worthy to be praised. The trial is just put there, amen, to give me a testimony. No tests, no testimony. Right? Amen. Amen. So, you know, we thank God for all these things, and we got to learn that God is still God no matter what we're going through. Hallelujah. Listen to this. I just want to bring a couple things in, and amen, I want to start here in spiritual adoption. Glory, 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 glory. He says, and may I take this moment to say this. My friends, the entire church of the living God is built solemnly upon the spiritual revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how educated you are, how smart you may be, how well you may think you know the Bible, right? Satan knows it just a lot better than you do. Glory. But only through the revelation, huh? God, through the Holy Spirit, your tutor, revealed to you that he saves you by his grace. My, if he were revealed to you this morning by the revelation that this is the end of your suffering. Now you got to put your condition right there. Amen. For me, I'm going to say a big amen to that. If he can reveal to me, amen, by his grace, that today is the end of my suffering. What I mean now, that trial is going to be over with. I realize as a Christian, there's going to be another trial. Right? Amen. That's just the way life is. But this trial has got to come to an end at some point in time. And I'm just getting prepared for the next one. Listen, he says, if he revealed to you this morning by the revelation that this is the end of your suffering, this is the end of your sickness, all devils out of torment will never shake that foundation. Though every doctor say it's wrong, hallelujah, for upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Though it would be against it, yet it cannot prevail, for when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against it every time. You see, you get it? He say every time something happened like that, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against the enemy. Now I'm gonna leave that there because I wanna go a little further here, amen, and a couple things. The next one that I want to read is out of the third Exodus. Y'all just bear with me. This is a prayer that Brother Branham prayed, and I just want to just kind of, it's almost a, you know how you get different evangelists, you know, they go to church and it's a whole group of people sitting in a section, you know, maybe it could be 400 or 500 people in that section, and they would say, I feel that somebody over here got back pain. Yeah, I'm sure somebody, if it's 400 or 500 of them sitting there, somebody got back pain. I feel that somebody got a headache. You just saw me take an aspirin, right? Right, I mean, you know that somebody there with that condition. So I was saying that to say this: it would be almost ridiculous for me to say, "Who in here going through a trial?" Everybody going through a trial, right? Everybody going through something, amen. Amen. And the reason we come to church is because we're trying to get some strength for these trials. Amen. Come on, somebody. So I mean, this message, everybody in here ought to be able to eat something from it. Because everybody going through something. All right, now, come on. Look at this. And, you know, some of us, our trials may be a little tougher than others right now. But, you know, you just keep pressing on. God going to bring you through. This is a prayer, amen, that was prayed by God's prophet. And I like this. I just want to bring it in. He says, we can pull the pages back. But God has to open this Sunday school lesson. So let us just ask him to do that.
He says, and this is a prayer. He's starting out this message on 3rd Exodus that he's going to preach. And his prayer says, Heavenly Father, we by faith look towards the future. By faith, I'm looking towards the future. I'm not looking at right now. I'm looking at what's getting ready to come. By faith, we look towards the future. I'm looking now by faith towards a coming something. Lord, upon the earth that's going to draw thy people together. When we see the denominational churches so pinning down and getting so different, it's really pushing the people out, just as it was in Egypt, a Pharaoh rising who knew not Joseph. If I could just break into that just for a second. You're going to have some people in your life that's going to come into your life. They're not going to have any idea of what you've done before they came into your life. Oh, my. They don't have any idea of the accomplishments that you might achieve before they came into your life. Y'all got to work with me. Hallelujah. Come on. You're going to have a Pharaoh that don't know Joseph. Right? This Pharaoh didn't realize that Joseph spared the land. Because of him interpreting the dream the correct way, amen, Joseph was able to put enough food in storage that they were able to survive 7 years of famine. Had not Joseph been there, Egypt would have been wiped out. But there was a Pharaoh that came on the scene, a leader that came on the scene that forgot or did not even know who Joseph was. And his attitude. Y'all gonna let me preach this morning? His attitude towards Joseph. He didn't even want to hear the stories. He didn't even want to hear the testimonies of how his ancestors had been spared by this man, Joseph. His attitude was, well, Joseph ain't here right now. I'm here right now. And when his attitude towards what happened there in Egypt, amen, allowed him to just kind of do the Israelites any kind of way. There was a Pharaoh that rose up that did not know Joseph. Everybody in here gonna have that happen in your life. On your job, you're gonna get a Pharaoh that don't know Joseph. In school, you're gonna get a Pharaoh that don't know Joseph. Hello, somebody. In your family, you might get a Pharaoh that don't know Joseph. Let's go on a little further. I just want to make sure you got it. Amen. Listen, it was really pushing the people out, just as it was in Egypt, a Pharaoh rising who knew not Joseph. As it was in Germany, up into Russia and Italy, the people raised up Joseph's Hitler and Stalin, Mussolini, who hated the Jew. Right? They had to go back to their homeland. God, you got your way. This is a key statement right here. God, you got your ways of doing things that we don't understand. Can I tell you the trial that you're going through right now is God's got his ways of doing things that you don't understand. His ways are not your ways and his thoughts are not your thoughts. Listen, he said, and you press them. No home in Germany. Everything taken away from them. Also in Italy, Russia, no place to go. And they were sent back to their homeland just to fulfill the word. Now you need to understand that typically when the word is being fulfilled in your life, it's under pressure. Sometimes it's the pressure that brings the greatest thing out of you. That's when you shine the most, it's under pressure. If you really want to know, amen, the real person, watch them under pressure. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory, glory. It says, and I like this part, oh, the loving hand of God. How sometimes it looks cruel the way that people suffer, but still it's the tender hand of Jehovah leading his children. Look at what he say. We thank you, Lord. Now, most of us can't thank God when we're going through. Most of us want to complain to God when we're going through. But I want you to change your attitude this morning. Just say, Lord, I thank you for what you sent my way. Amen. Hey, it could have been worse. But he'll never put more on you than you can bear. Glory to God. He goes on to say, now I pray God as I see the day that the denomination is pressing the believers, excommunicating them, saying their names must be upon their book or they're lost.
Any church tell you that, you need to get out of there fast as possible. If you ain't a part of this, you're lost. No, 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 my God is much bigger than just this. My God got this, that, and everything else. He got it all covered. Come on, church. You got to watch these spirits. Hey, they make you feel like you got to be a part of this. That's not the only place where God is moving. God got a big world out there, right? Amen. This might be one place where God is moving, but it's not the only place. Come on, church. Say, he says, have nothing to do with that other group. It's only the tender hand of Jehovah. What I'm trying to get you to see, the trial that you're in right now is the tender hand of Jehovah leading them to the tree of life. You realize we couldn't eat from the tree of life? You realize what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden actually blocked access to the tree of life? Amen. Man could not go in there and eat anymore. After that sin, it broke fellowship with God. But when Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, and he rose again, that restored access back to the tree of life. So let me tell you how you're getting back to the tree of life. Through your trials. Woo! Now that's heavy. The way you're getting back is through your trials. The tender hand of Jehovah is leading you through your trials back to the tree of life. Let me just go on a little further. You can take that down. I want to just kind of share. You know, we started out in ministry. I took a quick journey back. And, you know, just some things that happened along the way. And sometimes the devil has a way of making you feel, especially when you start going through trials. You don't know where they're coming from. Why is this happening? Sometimes the devil have a way of making you feel like, man, you're not a son of God. You're not a child of God. If you was a child of God, this wouldn't be happening to you. You know how that is. You know, you done faithfully paid your tithes and you're still going through in your finances. And so the first thing you say is like, now I know that I did that and God said he's going to rebuke the devil for my sake. I mean, that's what he said. Now, why is this devil just rising up and everything I got being taken away? What in the world is going on? Man, God loves you. God loves you. Don't you worry about nothing. Whatever's taken from you here, you'll be given over there. The prophet had a chair taken from him. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He was at his house, let me just share this with you too. You got to know how to create the right atmosphere at home when things ain't going right. But the prophet, you know, one day he come home and he was there trying to get pay. I think it was a quarter, a nickel, or something like that each week just to pay for this chair, a rent to own type thing. And he went with his, he got to a spot where he couldn't even pay that quarter a week. He couldn't pay it. So, you know, he was there and his wife would every day just make him a little pie and she'll bake him a pie and he'll sit down and eat that pie and then he'll go run to that chair and sit down. But one day she knew that the man had come and got the chair at the house. They repossessed the chair. And he like, man, I can't wait to get home to go sit in my chair. And his wife saw him come through the door and she baked him that pie and had him sit down at the table. Said, come on, enjoy the pie, Bill, and just eat the pie. And so he sat down and he said, okay, now I'm going to go in the living room. No, Bill, don't go in the living room. Just sit here and eat the pie. Well, no, I want to go to the living room and sit in my chair. No, Bill, don't worry about that chair. Just sit here and eat this sweet pie that I got for you. Just trying to create an atmosphere. And then, you know, all of a sudden he said, no, I'm going to go sit in my chair. He went through went out the door and went into the other room and then realized my chair has been gone. His wife just kind of fell into his arms, just started crying, said, Bill, I'm so sorry, you know, that this happened. He says, dear, it's not your fault. I know, we just got behind and I couldn't have it. Say, but, you know, later on in life, God allowed the prophet to go over to the other side. Yeah. Amen. He saw his loved ones. He saw his wife that had died. He saw his daughter that died. He went over to the other side. Everything that he loved on this earth and everything that loved him, God had given him over there on the other side. God showed him and said, when he got there, he saw a dog. A dog that had got hit, amen, I think shot or something like that by some man, he saw that dog over on the other side. Yeah. He said in the chair that they came to repossess, he saw the chair on the other side. Yeah. Oh, my. Now, most of us say, now, you know, not, don't get me wrong, because you got people, you know, going around saying heaven is like a bunch of theme parks. I'm not talking like that. What I mean, it's not a bunch of theme parks, right? Amen. It's a real place. Amen. It's so real, it's going to be like what we're doing right now. When you get to the other side, it's still going to be work and all this other. The Bible promises these things. My, it's just going to be work without no pressure. Oh, my. That's a different type of work. When you're enjoying what you do and not having to worry about politics and all this other stuff, it's a different atmosphere. Come on, God worked in the beginning. To get everything we got, God worked in the beginning. So don't think you're going to stop working. Oh, my. Listen, but you know what happened? So he got over there, he saw the dog, he saw a horse, he saw all kind of stuff over on the other side. And somebody questioned, saying, now, come on, you done went too far. Talk about dogs and horses. You done went too far. Talk about heaven is full of dogs and horses. You done went too far. He said, well, tell me where the horse came from that Jesus was riding on in the book of Revelation 19. You tell me where that came from. Because he came out of the heavens riding on a horse. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Amen. When I heard that, I said, Lord, I'm encouraged. Amen. Everything that loved me and everything I ever loved going to be on the other side. So if they come get my chair, I'll see it again. And you can't take this one. Come on, church. I was thinking, I just went through a little journey here in my own life. Some things that I went through, and you know, and sometimes, like I said, you just kind of, you go through different phases of your life and you just wonder, is God with me or not with me? What am I going through? Why am I going through this? Because God don't show you everything up front, right? He needs, you see, they're just going to have to live by faith. They got to walk by faith, and faith is something that you can't physically see, right? But you got to trust that, hey, God's got this thing under control. And I remember, you know, one time I was actually go preach in Georgia, you know, it was my first sermon. I mean, I'm like, you know, you're already struggling with whether you called or not called, right? And it's my first sermon that I've been invited, I'm going to preach. And I'm like, you know, okay, Lord, I'm going to go up here. And you realize when I got it there, my first sermon, I got a flat tire on my way to go preach. I got a flat tire. And the first thing comes saying, you know, you ain't in the will of God. Get on back down to West Palm Beach. You shouldn't be going to Georgia in the first place. Get on. God ain't call you. That's why you got a flat tire out here. I said, no, I'm going to change this flat tire, and I'm going to keep on going. And I changed, and I kept pressing on. I got all the way to my exit in Georgia. And then I realized, man, I forgot all my clothes back home. I said, Lord, ain't no way I could be called going through things like this. But that's just the devil. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so glad I pressed through that moment. I'm so glad I pressed through that moment, church. And I'm going to tell you, not only are you going to be glad that you pressed through the moment that you're going through right now, other people are going to be glad that you pressed through that moment. Y'all bear with me. Testimonies are starting to come to my head, and I wasn't planning on saying all this. But I remember, you know, when we started the church, and there was two sisters that was praying about whether they should come to be a part of the church or not be a part of the church. They was praying about it. And here we going back to Georgia again. And, you know, they had our car situation all situated. So I said, hey, y'all can take my car. Y'all bring my car on up there. And so they jumped in the car to, you know, get on the road and ride. And then hear the first song that come on and say, it wasn't easy, but it was worth it. They heard CeCe singing, it wasn't easy, but it was worth it. And they looked at each other like, did you put that on? Or did Brother Jack set us up? What's going on here? And when they realized, they said, no, this wasn't a setup. This was God. Woo! Come on, somebody. But they pressed through that moment, and they, you know, glory to God. I'm going to tell you something about me. I, when we get members from other churches, I make sure I talk to the other pastor. And I make sure not only I talk to him, but you got to talk to him as well. Oh, you ain't going to run from nothing. Oh, what you running from? What you running from? No, you know, I got scripture for everything now. You know, y'all remember in the Old Testament, this guy that used to be the leader for Saul's army. I can't think his name right now. Joab, yeah. But he was a leader for Saul's army, and when Saul died, he wanted to go join up with, it wasn't Joab. I can't think his name. Y'all forgive me. But this guy wanted to join up with David. And when he went running over there to David, he said, David just like, yeah, okay, man, we'll take you on in. But some of the other fellas like, no, we remember this guy. He has some spirits on him. He killed my brother, Abner. That's his name. Thank God for the Bible readers. But Abner said, I'm just jumping. So you got to know why Abner coming. Because Abner was leaving a pretty bad situation. Abner had took the king's wives and he slept with them. He wasn't supposed to do that, right? But he took the king's wives, and if he would do that to Saul, what you think that man going to do to David? If that spirit ain't wiped out of Abner, he going to cause some problems. See, if you know your Bible, you can watch everything. That's why we do things the way we do them, you know. But I said, now you go back, you make sure you talk to them, because I'm going to call them too to make sure you talk to the pastor. Make sure everything is clear. Because the pastor said, now, man, they leaving here with, trouble. They done set fires all over this church. And you were going to just welcome them in? So I said, no, be careful, church. Glory, glory, glory. That wasn't part of my sermon, but that was part of God's thoughts. So I'm just bringing that in. Some of the other things that happened, I remember my first trip to England. Amen. We went to go preach the gospel. And as we were going, we had a flight that was going to go through Detroit. So we thought, hey, it's going to be a local flight. It's not going to be international. So we jumped on the plane to go. And as we were going to the airport, we got there and the people said, sir, this is an international flight. I said, no, we're going to Detroit first. It's not international. If for international flights, you need to be here 2.5 hours or something like that before. And we're there 45 minutes. They say, sir, we're not going to let you on this plane. I said, no, you can't do that. Sir, you're going to have to cancel this ticket and just pay for another. No, I ain't got money to do that. I can't lose that kind of money. No, I can't do that, man. Sir, you are not going. And I think Mom and Sister Brown was already sitting on the plane. And they calling and asking, like, where y'all at? We stuck at this counter. They won't let us pass the counter. So, you know, we just sat there, and my wife was trying to talk to him, and I'm trying to talk to him. And, man, we just fed up, just a whole family of us, about six of us. So they say, sir, we're not going to let y'all on this plane. I say, Lord, no, God. I mean, my first time going out the country, internationally, preach the gospel, now I'm going to get stuck at this airport. Say, Lord, no, this can't happen. So I said, man, this is a mess. So I sat there for a little bit, and then it just kind of quickened to me. See, I want to talk to you about the standard being raised and how that happens, right? And the way that the standard is raised, just so you leave here at least with that information, the way that the standard is raised is that God quickens his word to you. When you're in the midst of your trial, the way the standard is raised, God quickens his promises to you. And when you realize you're standing on the promise, you stand differently. Because sometimes when you're going through, you can't think about no scripture. See, when my father-in-law passed away, and we couldn't even pray for ourselves. Sometimes some of us going through different trials, we lose a loved one. We can't even pray for ourselves. It's good to have other people praying for you. But when you're going through, the way that the standard is raised is that the word is quickened to you. The word comes alive to you. One scripture might be quickened. One testimony might be quickened. And you begin to say, if God can do it for so-and-so, then God can do it for me. As I'm standing there and we couldn't get on, they wouldn't let us on the plane. I said, Lord, I can't believe the plane is going to take off and leave us. You know, I've been through that before where I was going to one city to preach. And man, we got all the way down to the gate. We standing there looking at the pilot. He got his eyes on us. We got our eyes on him, and he backing out. I think it's Fort Lauderdale. I had to drive from Fort Lauderdale all the way to Orlando in one night to catch the next plane in order to go preach. The devil gonna fight everything you do. But as we're standing there, you know, going to England this first time, and I say, Lord, I can't believe this. They won't let us on the plane. And God, you don't, now let me, you know, when God make a way, it ain't cheap to go to England. And God make a way for you to get the tickets. Uh-uh, the devil can't have this. No, he can't have it. You can't go postal and threaten nobody. Can I just talk to y'all this morning? You can't be in there talking about, you know, somebody gonna answer for this. You can't be in the, you can't even play games. My name is Jack, right? You can't, hi Jack, I'm talking to him. I'm talking to, you can't play games like that. They might think you mean hi Jack. But as I'm sitting there, I say, Lord, I can't believe. No, God. I mean, come on, Lord. So then I just begin to get settled in my spirit, got quiet. And as I got quiet before the Lord, he began to speak to me and say, you know, the same God that held a plane on the ground for God's prophet in Memphis, Tennessee, he's the same today. And as he quickened that to my spirit, that was the standard being raised. And when he quickened it to my spirit, I say, in the name of Jesus, the same God that held that plane down in Memphis, Tennessee, is going to hold this plane down in West Palm Beach. And I sat there and I just waited. Time had come, we were supposed to be on that plane. 45 minutes that went by, that plane was supposed to be gone. And I sat there and we sitting there just standing there looking at them. They looking at you, looking at me? I'm looking at you. We sat there and we looked at them. And as we looked at them, you know, they start making phone calls. They say, you know, say the plane didn't leave yet. Say, we having mechanical problems. I say, oh. We have mechanical problems. And say, you know, we something wrong. 30 minutes gone by. Plane still ain't left. So we standing there. And as we stood there, you know, I say, yeah, we going to get on this plane. And then they say, sir, you all get your things together. We're going to let you down through the gate. Because the mechanical failures happened on the plane, they told the people on the plane, because we had people on the inside that was on the plane. And they know what y'all saying. So what they tell the people on the inside of the plane, we got some international passengers that's trying to catch this flight. So we had to hold it up just for them. Y'all forgive them. And here we come running down on the plane, everybody looking at us like... But I couldn't tell them the real truth. It was, yeah, I'm an international passenger, but God held this plane up. See, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise the standard against the enemy. God know how to fight your battles, church. Oh, hallelujah. My. You know, I tell you, there's so much that I've seen God do. Just last year, I was on my way to Canada. Amen. Two trips last year. I had a back-to-back trips, and both trips I had problems. Both trips. So, you know, usually when you want to go and you got your mind on the Lord, you know, you just like, please, just God, I don't need no trials. Let me just go through this. So I went on down. We went to Canada. We was trying to go to Canada and come to find out that one of my daughter's passport had expired. And we had put the paperwork in early enough to get both passports expired, both my daughters. We put it in to get their passports back. Only one came back. So we like, man, either we're going to have to leave you behind or we're going to have to try to get this passport worked out. So my wife said, okay, we got on the day of the flight. Her and my daughter went rushing down to Miami to get the passport done in one day. And they got the passport, made it all the way back home. And here they in Miami coming back to West Palm. We go pick up Sister Wason and we headed back to Fort Lauderdale to catch the flight. Man, we get on the turnpike and we just rolling. All of a sudden I hear a little something. I said, man, that tire don't sound right. Bubble in the tire. I said, oh, Lord. Let me just keep pressing. I'll take care of when I get back home. I keep on going. Boom! Call for road hazard. They say you can make them phone calls. Let me tell you, they don't work when you really, really need them. They don't work. So here I take all the luggage out the car, you know, and I'm trying to catch an airplane. Take all the luggage out, jacking up the car, changing the tire. I say, Lord, why we got to go through things like this? But we got the tire changed. We got the passport sorted out. And we made it onto our destination, made it back safely. And God was praised in the midst of it. So what you got to learn to do is be perseverant. No matter what you're going through, you just remain perseverant. Hallelujah. And I just want to make it clear to you that when you're going through, the way God going to raise that standard, the way he going to raise that standard is by quickening his word to you. Let me just read something. I got two things I'm going to read, and I promise I'll make this home. I got a scripture that I want to read. It's a very, very lengthy scripture, but I think it'll be helpful. What I found is that my words is one thing, but God's words is everything. So I like to read the word of the Lord. So take on the whole armor of God, a whole armor of God. Let me just read something out of that, and then I'm going to go to a scripture here I want to read for you today. Oh, my, my, my. Thank you, Jesus. Here it says to take on the whole armor of God. It says, but Satan makes it appealing. Certainly, it's appealing. Sin's appealing. But the enemy keeps finding a better bait. He will strip her off a little more and do this and then do that. Don't worry, he will never make her completely naked. She'd be horrible then. See, he knows just what to do, but Satan keeps bringing sin in. And that was the original sin. That's the way he's going out with the same thing as the kingdom come in, the warfare. It says, now watch, but God doesn't have to do anything more to his to make it any more appealing. So he's talking about the Satan going to come against the word. He's going to come against, it came against Jesus. If thou be the son of God, then do this, then do that. Satan going to always do that to you. Right. But you got to say, no, I am. It's not no if I be the son of God. Just by you putting that question on there, you know, I am. You know, I am a son of God. Right. So he says, so he's going to always be there. But God don't have to make his word any more appealing. Can I say something here? The gospel is not for entertainment. It's not. When we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not to entertain people. But churches have gone to this entertainment thing. And we got to have a better show than last year. Jesus wasn't trying to do better shows. Right? Jesus spoke things that caused people to leave church. Y'all realize that? Jesus had a big crowd. I mean, thousands following him. But he said, I know the only reason y'all are here because y'all want some fish. You like the bread and you like the fish that we serve. You just here for a 3 o'clock program. Huh? Right? You want some cake and some punch. Refreshments will be served after service. That's why you here. Right? But when the gospel, amen, got to being preached, and when he said, lest you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. Wait a minute. See, my pastor said this man was crazy. I know it. I'm going back to my old church. And say 70 members. That was a mega church back then. Because Paul's church only had 12. The Ephesians church was only 12, but Jesus had 70. Mega church. And in this mega church, y'all work with me here. But in this mega church, he had one sermon. Lest you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. Did not explain it. Just said it just like that. Guess what they said? Ooh, that's a hard saying. That's a hard saying. No. Two by two. Jesus stood at the door. God bless you. So glad to have you. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. 82 people. 82. 70 walk out in one service. 70. Rather than get discouraged. Not Jesus. He didn't get discouraged. What he did was go back inside the church.
Will you also go? Continue on with the sermon. Will you also go?
But I'm so glad Peter was there. So Peter do some crazy things. Sometime he own it, sometime he off it, but he's still Peter. Peter want to build three temples and all kind of stuff. And no, Peter, it's only one God, not three gods, right? But here Peter say, leave? Where I'm going? What you talking about? Go. Where am I going, Jesus? My daddy told me about you, and that you is exactly what I've been praying for, what I've been waiting on. I'm staying right here. Hey, Peter, that sounds so good. Say, but you know, I got 12 members in this church. 12 people. And you know what? Out of all the ones that left, now, y'all forgive me. I can't say it. But if I put it in today's terms, out of all the people that left, the one that I was trying to get to leave, that's the JED version. Because you got all these different versions, right? That's the JED, Jackie Edwin Duff version. But he say, one of y'all still a devil. And they look, say, 12? 70 just walked out and one of us still a devil. Which one of us is it? Didn't even share with them. Just let them keep on going. And the devil got real close to Jesus. He handled his money. Huh? I mean, he did, boy. Now, don't y'all get that revelation. First thing you say, see, watch the one with the money. Don't do that. But I'm just trying to get you to understand the spirits don't die. Right? No matter what church you go to. It was in Jesus' church. It's going to be make-believers, unbelievers, true believers in this church. And they're going to be in any church you go to. So don't get your eyes focused on the make-believer and don't get your eyes focused on the unbeliever. But keep your eyes on the believers. Let me finish reading this and then I'm going to go into a scripture, I promise. Glory, glory, glory. Says Satan keeps, he says, now watch. But God doesn't have to do anything more to make it any more appealing. God's not going to make the gospel more appealing. We're not trying to make the gospel appealing. Sin is sin. The gospel is supposed to cleanse you from sin. Amen. All right, you know, just bear with me, y'all. There, you know, I had a conversation this week and somebody was telling me that they knew of had a good friend, and they didn't want to judge the friend because the friend was living a homosexual lifestyle. But even though they're living a homosexual lifestyle and they just got married to their partner, you know, they still teach Sunday school at the church, so God must be still using them. And I'm not here to judge them. I make mistakes too. I said it's one thing to willfully make mistakes, and it's another thing just to make mistakes. Because when you just make mistakes, you repent of that and God will forgive you. But when you willfully going out there doing something against the word of God, that's not a mistake. That's what we call a practice. Or a lifestyle. It's no longer a mistake. Right? So if the word of God speaks against it, it's just like if I just kept committing adultery over and over and over and over, say somebody going to get mad at some point in time. And my wife just can't say, well, I make mistakes too, so it's okay for him to make mistakes. No, she's going to call me up. Right? She should. Amen. Even if the pastor of this church and I'm just up here sinning all the time and just living any kind of life before y'all, I mean, oh my. I don't know too many of y'all. That was Brother Jack did what? Now one time, if it happened one time and y'all knew the situation, y'all might say, okay, all right, brother, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Right? But if it happened two times, two different people, they gone. I had a conversation yesterday with another preacher, my uncle. And he said, now, why is it that people do that to the pastor? They be gone. If the pastor do something wrong, they have a meeting, he's out. But you let it happen in the congregation. No meetings. We need to have some grace. You're going to have some grace with me too, then. But I'm not looking, I'm not up here looking for no way out. I want to live right before you. Because if I live right before you, then I can hold you to, I can get in your face. I can pull your face mask. And I say, you got to live right too. I'm living right. You got to live right. If I let down the bars, then I know you'll let down the bars. But if I'm living right, you got to live right. Amen. We got to hold each other accountable. Amen, church. I got sisters that are watching, a sister that just come and get too close to the pastor. You need to meet. I mean, and them sisters, I got sisters that are standing on watch. All the brothers be gone. They know they got stuff to do at home. They standing out like they talking. When you get too close, they'll be right there. I thank God for sisters like, I thank God for a church like this. Amen, amen. I want to be in a church where sin can't hide. We got to call sin, sin. Wrong is wrong and right is right. The Bible is right. Amen. We got to stop changing it and making it fit what we want, how we want to live. No, the Bible is right. Stay with the Bible. Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is right. I heard somebody say, well, see, what do you think the wrath of God is? Because, you know, Romans 1 talk about how the wrath of God will be poured out on people that live that homosexual lifestyle. What do you think the wrath of God is? And say when we read that and the guy started explaining, say, see, people use that wrath of God because they wanted to make it seem like God is the one that you should fear. Two parts to that. Now, there is a holy fear that we should all have with God. Because God is holy and he does not like sin. Right? I mean, and the other thing is that we're not going around saying God going to strike you with a lightning bolt. God going to hit you here. God, no, we're not saying that. But I will say this. The wages of sin is death. And when you die, you're going to have to answer for your sins. And there will be a judgment. So you better live right now so that on judgment you end up on the right side. I will say that, right? I'm not saying you could. I mean, it's people sitting right now, and God ain't hit them with no lightning bolt. That's not going to happen. No. But he will, if you reject his offering for sin, you'll have to pay the consequence later on. There is a heaven, and there is a hell. The Bible said that the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. That means somebody going to hell. Everybody that died is not going to heaven. Somebody's going to go to hell. Not only that, it's more people going to hell than you realize. Because the Bible declares that hell hath enlarged itself. That means hell got bigger. You know, hell wasn't even created for men to go. But you have to fight to go. You got to get over the word of God just to get there. And because so many people fighting to go, it enlarged itself. That's the Bible, y'all. That's the Bible. So, I mean, what my uncle preached yesterday, I went to a funeral, but he preached. He said, his title was, you don't have to do nothing bad to go to hell. You don't have to do nothing bad. And if you read your Bible in Luke, the rich young ruler was a man that was following scripture. But the Bible said he lifted up his eyes in hell. He was following the commandments. There's only one thing he couldn't do. He couldn't sell all he had, give it to the poor, and follow Jesus. When he had that opportunity, he turned it down. What is it that God asking you to give up? What is it? What is it that he asked you to give up? And you tell him you can't give that up? Okay. I'm trying to get two things to y'all. It took me so long to get here. Y'all forgive me.
Now watch, but God doesn't have to do anything more to his to make it any more appealing. The only thing he has to do is just raise up a standard of his own word against the enemy. The Bible said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard against it. What does he do? He makes the word that he's already said, he makes the word that he already said more positive. And taking his same word and just making it more positive. So what happens when you're going through a scripture might be quickened to you. And when that scripture is quickened to you, that's the Spirit of the Lord raising standard against the enemy, whatever you're going through. Oh, he'll use a testimony. He'll use a scripture. Sometimes he'll even use a song. But that's what carries you through your trial. I want to read a scripture. Because this is a passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's quite a long passage. And I'm going to do my best not to make too many comments in here. Because I've preached enough. Amen. But 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This happened, amen, where the enemy came in. And how God just took care of his people in the midst of what they were facing. I want to encourage you because God is able to do the same for you no matter what you're going through this morning, whether it's sickness in your body, whether it's financial pressure, amen, whether it's some issue in the home, just domestic issue, God is able to raise a standard in your situation. Amen. Look at this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And for those of you that here for the first time, I try to preach about an hour and then I'm done. Amen. I'm not a 30-minute preacher. I'm not one of them because that's I hate to say it. We got fast food churches. Can I ask you a question? If you take your child and keep feeding them fast food, what do you think gonna happen to that child? They'll die early. And when you got a 7-course meal, it take a little time. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, if I preach that, I'd get shot. read with me here. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is where Moab is invading Judah. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So here's this great army coming against, Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel coming to battle. It says, and then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. When the enemies come in like a flood, maybe you want to set yourself to a little fast. Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of who? Of the Lord. See, a lot of times we look to other people to try to get help from, but God just wants us to call on him. Say, ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God. So this is a good thing. When you're going through, another thing I want to just put into your spirit. When you're going through, go to church. Don't stay home. Go to church. Right. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? It's not our battle. This is yours. Right. He says, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? Thank God for Brother Wisdom singing that song. I'm a friend of God, right? So, and they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our afflictions, then thou wilt hear and help. He's not a God just sitting by and not doing nothing. He's a God that's going to hear and he's going to help.
Listen, and now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and they destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. See, if God done gave you something, don't let no devil come take it from you. And if you just know the history of this, Israel, when they were told to bypass the children of Ammon and Seir, to bypass them, God said, I gave them that, let them stay there. You just let them stay right where they at. That's where they belong. Don't you do nothing to them. So now, God, now they're coming to take what you gave us. So they're praying. I mean, Jehoshaphat and the leaders there, they're praying before God. And it's like, now, Lord, didn't you give us this? Didn't you give us this land? Look at it. It says, verse 11. It says, behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. I like this, because we might be in this situation. Enemies come in like a flood. You don't know what to do. But look at what they say. But our eyes are upon thee. Can I tell you something to do? Just turn your eyes on Jesus and let him lead you through this trial. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mananiah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. I love that. See, this is what happens when you just get into the presence of the Lord. You don't know, God might use somebody to prophesy to your situation. Oh, glory. Listen. So now the Spirit of the Lord come upon him. Amen. And verse 15 says, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I want to tell you the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Boy, I would take that and I'd just run with that one. I ain't fighting nothing. Satan, the battle ain't mine in the first place. I'm just here representing. Listen, he said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. That means the worshipers begin to worship. Listen to this. And oh, so you got, you know, look, it's just not the song leader. You got to bring your praise with the song leader. Right? You got to be ready to worship. Right? And if you're looking forward to overcoming, you got to start with a praise. My. Listen, it says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Right? You ain't going to get wiped out by this trial. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. What a battle strategy. Go forth with worship. That's why I say worship is a verb. Right? It's an action. You can't sit quiet and worship. Right, but amen. You got it's a response to God. Oh, hallelujah! He says, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. And when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten.
I like that. Now God set ambushment. God put surprises out there. Listen, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. That means they start fighting against each other. This great army that was supposed to come against Israel end up fighting each other. So maybe God allowed one little guy to get into a little argument with another guy. And when that argument starts, and now, hey, you can't do that to my brother. Oh, that's your brother. Oh, they just jumping in. They helping each other. Now, they're supposed to be on one. Their assignment was to go against Israel. But because they allowed division to come amongst them, they began to defeat each other. This is why when he said, you ain't going to have to fight this battle. God knew what he was going to do. Oh, my. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, you ain't got to fight whatever battle that you're going through. God already knows what he's going to do. Just trust him. Show up for it. Show up for the battle. Just get out there. Show up. Amen. Amen. Listen, let me keep reading. I'm almost there. It says, verse 24, it says, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. Look at this. It was so much spoil in this battle. It says, and they were 3 days. That means from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, they were taking gold and everything else from off these warriors. We got this section today, boys. We got to come back and get that section tomorrow. More than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. I'm going to tell y'all, we're not going to sow no seed offerings or nothing like that. But I'm expecting one day we're going to have one of them offerings where it's going to be so much that it's going to be like in the book of Exodus that they say, please tell the people, stop giving. Stop. Moses, would you please tell the people, don't give no more. We don't even know what to do with this. Please stop. Tell them, Moses, stop. I can't wait to have one of them offerings. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Barakah. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the valley of Barakah unto this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. With joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God, see, there it is. The fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. The Spirit of the Lord raised a standard against that enemy. And I don't care what you're going through, God can do it for Jehoshaphat. God can do the same thing for you. God richly bless you, church. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise the standard against him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful to be able to come to the house of the Lord and to hear the word of the Lord. Everybody in here has something that they're going through. And God, my prayer is that you would quicken your word to each and every heart. And that you, God, would just begin to direct and show us, Lord, the path that we must take. We know that you are in control. There is nothing too hard for you. No situation that's beyond, amen, Lord, your abilities. God, we are in complete confidence of the God that we serve. And we have a promise that has been given to us. And, Lord, often we've read it, amen, and sometimes it just goes right over us. But God, when we're going through, that's when these scriptures are quickened back to us. And we realize that the enemy may come in like a flood. But every time, your prophet said, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against the enemy. So, Father, we're expecting that. We're looking for it. And we're looking for the testimonies of praise that will go forth, amen, even after this day. Lord, we commit each one into your hands. And
God, I certainly don't want to take take it for granted that, Lord, as we sit here, you know the conditions of every heart. I don't. So, God, I just want to give opportunity, even at this moment. If there's one, amen, or many that are here today that do not know the Lord Jesus in the pardoning of your sin, if you don't know him today and you'd like to know him, if you have never really heard his voice speak to you, but today maybe you heard something that challenged and you just want to draw closer to him, I just want you to lift your hand, amen, today, and I want to pray for you. If you just want to draw closer to him, you want him to be Lord and Savior of your life, whatever you need today, just lift your hand. I want to pray for you today. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God, you see the hands in this place, people that want to draw closer to you, people that want to hear your voice. God, I pray that you would just minister to each one. And Father, those that are lifting their hands because of sin that's in their life that keeps them separated, but they want to admit today that they are sinners and they need your saving grace, and they accept what you did at the cross for their sins, that they want to walk, Father, in their Christian profession from this day forward. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would come into their hearts right now and that you begin to penetrate, and you would change and you would turn, and you, Lord God, would move their hearts in the directions that you want it to move, God. Help us all to draw closer to you, God, is our prayer. We're careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We realize, God, today, amen, that the promise, amen, is raising even right now in the midst of whatever we're facing, sickness in our body, financial issues, God, Lord, whatever it is, or some domestic problem, God, whatever it might be, whatever we're facing, we believe that the Spirit of the Lord is here, God, raising the standard, and we thank you for that, God, today. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Let's give him a hand of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Solomon, would you come and close us out today? Amen. God bless you to all the saints. Amen. That's come to fellowship with us today. So good to have you. Amen. In fellowship. God bless you. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody, he is able. He is able.
God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. How many believes that this morning? Oh, 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 he's able. Yeah. Oh, let's sing that first verse again. God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. Come on, let's sing. Say, oh, 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 he's able. Oh, 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 he's able. Say, oh. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. The Lord. Let's sing this little song together. I still have a praise inside of me. Amen. Even when the trials come, just praise God. I've been through the fire. Mm-hmm. I've been through the flood. Been broken in pieces and left all alone. Oh, oh, oh. But through God blessed me, and through it all God kept me, and I still have a praise inside of me. How many has that praise inside of you this morning? Well, I still have a praise in. Amen. Let's sing it again. Well, I've been through the fire. Oh, I've been through the flood. Been broken in pieces, just left all alone. But through it all, God blessed me, and through it all, God kept me, and I still have a praise inside of me. Oh, yes, I still have a praise. Amen. Give me that second verse. Although I've been wounded, and yes, I've been scarred, I never gave up. No, sir. I trusted in God. Well, but through it all, God blessed me, and through it all, God kept me, and I still inside of me. Yeah. Oh yes, I still have a praise inside of me. Oh, oh yes, I still have a praise. One more time, I still have my praise. I still have a praise inside of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bow your heads if you will. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're so grateful for this message of encouragement, Lord God. Lord, when the trials come, it's not always you whooping on us for something that we did wrong. But sometimes, Lord, you want to see the reaction of our faith, Lord. You're trying to push us, Lord, to a higher place, Lord God. You're trying to push us to our place where we belong. Sometimes we get so complacent, Lord God, and just want to sit stagnant in one place, Lord. But you're calling us to come up higher. Lord God, I'm so grateful for your leadership, Lord. I'm so grateful, Lord, for the message this morning. I'm grateful for every soul that could be here to hear this word of encouragement, Lord. And may your people walk out of this place, Lord God, better Christians than when they enter into our gates. Oh, God, just have complete preeminence in our lives, Lord, as we leave this place. Keep your children, Lord. Bless each one as they go forward and continue to enlighten our paths. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we ask you. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You may have your seats. Our brethren will come at this time and dismiss you each. God bless you.